This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
Luke O'Neill, Professor of Biochemistry at the School of Immunology at Trinity College in Dublin. Luke, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, you have a story about a man and his dog, which you'll tell me in a few minutes' time. But first of all, we are talking about bacteria being used to tackle cancer.
Yes, and useful. To give you credit, Pat, useful of this, and I'd seen it. It's very interesting, yeah. The hope, Pat, even back in the 1920s, was a doctor in Boston spotted if it had an infection and cancer at the same time, the cancer clears because the immune system's being triggered, and it's been very hard to achieve that for various reasons. Okay. This is a breakthrough. They've made a bacteria that can go inside a tumour and eat the tumour from within, is the idea. So it grows inside the tumour, takes all the nutrients, and the cancer is voracious for nutrients, and then begins to kill the cancer, you know. And what they've engineered it, it's very clever kind of genetic engineering to make this bacteria able to do that.
Okay, now the idea of the bacterium, it will survive in an area depleted of oxygen.
You've got it. That's what they spotted, yeah. So the middle of a tumour, Pat, as you may appreciate, is very dense, loads of cells. Mm. There's dead cells in there, there's debris, low oxygen, because blood can't get in, you know. And lo and behold, this bacteria, Clostridium, loves a low oxygen environment.
This is a common bacterium. This is one we all know, I've heard of.
It grows in soil, interestingly. It's called Clostridium sporoangenes, is the name of it. And they realised this bacteria survived in low oxygen. Let's now use that to fight tumours, because the very thing you need to kill a tumour is something that can survive low oxygen.
Now, here's the issue, and this is where the technological challenge came in. As you reduce the tumour, there's more room for oxygen.
You've got it.
It might kill the bacterium.
That was the real breakthrough. They engineered it to survive a little bit of oxygen as well. As soon as oxygen levels rise, that would normally kill the bacteria. It can sense that, handle the oxygen and survive. If that little engineering hadn't happened, you're dead right, the bacteria would die off as oxygen comes in, you know. So it's like a very clever piece of genetic engineering has happened.
And where are we in terms of human application?
Yeah, well, it's a real collaboration, this, by the way, with mathematicians, engineers and scientists. They've got together on this and they formed a company, very importantly, I suppose, and now they're going to begin clinical work on this to see if it works. But the evidence so far would be it's a clever trick that they've been trying to crack for years and years to get bacteria. As I said, back in the 20s they were trying, it didn't really work, but now they might be able to do
it. Could it do you any harm if you got Clostridium?
Yeah, well, that's the worry. They can engineer it to make it less sort of damaging to us as well. Mm. It's a very clever piece of engineering overall, is to make this thing safe as well as able to kill tumours. Mm.
Let's move on to Rose, who's a dog, and her companion or owner, Paul Cunningham, a Sydney-based tech guy. Yeah.
This is a great story for dog owners everywhere. So Paul Cunningham is his name, tech entrepreneur, Australian. His dog, Rosie, 8 years of age, I think a staff hybrid, wasn't it, Pat? I think it was a Staffordshire, whatever the breed was.
Sharpei,
I wouldn't know what that is. Anyway, poor old Rosie gets cancer. The vet goes, we're going to put Rosie down. He goes, I love Rosie. And in fact, the great Australian, she's my best mate, he said, right?
Okay.
So they get the tumour from Rosie, sequence the DNA, and that's the recipe to make the tumour, spot the mutations in the DNA, right? Because all cancer means a mutation in DNA. And they make an RNA vaccine, Pat, an RNA-based vaccine with these specific differences in the tumour. And then they gave it to Rosie. And guess what? Rosie is still alive and kicking. So it's a good example of RNA technology and vaccine.
They did it very quickly, though. So this is where his tech abilities come in.
Well, what's amazing, Pat, he used ChatGPT, Pat, isn't it? And he's obviously a tech guy, right?
Yeah.
So they got the DNA sequence. Now, remember, DNA, these are very long things, 3 billion letters. It's very complicated. Yeah. You know? Stuck it into ChatGPT and said, spot the difference with normal DNA. In other words, this is cancerous DNA.
Yeah.
And there might have only 9 differences out of 3 billion, you know? And the ChatGPT and AI points out the differences in Rosie's DNA. And then the University of New South Wales gets involved and they make the RNA molecules based on that difference. And now that goes into Rosie's body. And the RNA makes the proteins that cause the cancer, and the immune system now can spot those proteins and now attacks the tumor. And what they saw, Pat, was it took 2 months. Now, at the moment in humans, it's taken about 6 months to do this. So in other words, they're now saying if you can do it for 2 months in dogs, they're going to speed up the process. Mm. That's one benefit from this. And then Rosie was given the vaccine, Pat. 75% of the tumor was cleared within a few weeks. And then he said himself, Rosie was very sick and then jumped over a fence to chase rabbits. And that was evidence that Rosie was back to normal. But I love this story, Pat, because it just shows you. He's a tech guy. He has to pay for it, by the way. The downs cost him $3,000, by the way, for Aussie dollars to do this. But he loves Rosie, obviously. Yeah. Rosie's his best mate. And lo and behold, Rosie is still alive. So it's a great example.
And because he was innovative in this regard, he loved Rosie so much he did it.
Yeah.
It pointed the way. Why did the scientists not kind of have a go at this themselves?
Yeah, it's a good question. Well, the pet industry, Pat, by the way, there's lots of money to be made in pets, as you know, especially expensive pets. So nobody was doing this in the veterinary context. Now, what this will do next is any pet owner, potentially who can afford it, of course, could design a cancer vaccine to help their pets who've got cancer.
So where are we then in terms of using these kind of vaccines for human conditions?
Well, for us, Pat, I suppose it's more evidence this works. If it's going to work in a dog, there's no placebo effect here, you know, for instance. So it's really good evidence this cancer vaccine approach should work. And Pat, it's remarkable. This is the fastest growing part of medicine at the moment, cancer vaccines, because we really feel we've got cancer on the run. There's 120 trials running at the moment, which is a lot of trials in this business, designing vaccines for cancer. So you've never seen such activity. And the reason is, of course, it's been success and people get behind a success story. And we're seeing really good. The best one so far is lung cancer. So a cancer vaccine for lung cancer, double the survival time, the 3-year survival rate. Now, the most cancers, what's the average survival time?
Yeah.
It doubled the 3-year survival rate in people who were given the vaccine. That's one example. A big one in melanoma, Pat, that's another great one. There was a 50% decreased risk of recurrence of the cancer, which is great because these cancers come back, you know. So here have people on a cancer vaccine for melanoma, and you're decreasing the risk of the cancer coming back by 50%. And that, by the way, Pat, was Moderna. Now Pat, this is the COVID dividend, remember.
Yeah.
These are RNA vaccines. They wouldn't be happening unless we designed RNA vaccines for COVID. That kind of led the way, you know. And now we have all these RNA vaccines in development.
So these are already in development. And is there any downside with trialing them on humans?
The trouble is there's always side effects. There's always the worry, Pat, in a sense. And you are kicking the immune system hard here. And the immune system is mobilized against the tumor. So people do get side effects from their immune system going into overdrive. One is autoimmunity, strangely. There's a risk of that. But of course, if you've got cancer and you've got a death sentence in front of you, that's going to be a risk that you might be happy to take. And secondly, one company I'm involved in, trying to dial it down slightly, to ramp down the immune, get the settings correct, if you know what I mean.
Okay.
And then you won't see the side effects. Bring out the good part of the immune system and stop the negative side happening, is what's happening as well.
Now, you and I, years ago on this program, when it was in its Monday to Friday incarnation, it must be probably 10 years ago, we talked about the woman who was at one point a Playboy bunny,
yes,
who was instrumental in deciding that the immune system had to be the key to cancer.
She is our hero, Pat. Her name is Polly Matzinger. And any immunologist listening in this morning, I teach the students about her. She was a Playboy girl, right? And immunologists, strange as it may seem, Pat, used to go to the Playboy mansion. And she got chatting to two of them. And they said to her, you're a very clever woman. Why don't you come and do a degree? She does a degree in immunology, right? Becomes a very famous immunologist. She proposed very early on the way to kill cancer would be through the immune system. This is in the 80s, you know?
Yeah.
And her early work was saying bacteria could do it. So what we're seeing now is, of course, her foundational theory, in a way, is now coming real. And Polly is still alive, but I think she's in her 80s by now, you know? And I've met her. She's a very interesting woman to meet, of course, you know? So she deserves the credit for really galvanizing efforts to get the
Hugh Hefner, the godfather of cancer cures.
Exactly. Strangely, you wouldn't believe that.
No, you wouldn't. The final thing before I let you go, Luke, is that story I read about the flu jab and going for the more expensive variant. people saying that, you know, the ordinary variant didn't do its work, but it did.
Oh, it did. There's a strange on this, but there's a slight benefit to the more expensive one. And the trouble is that the pot of money is limited, isn't it?
Yeah.
If it's going to cost you a lot more to give you a 10% benefit, that's the trouble with this in a way. But the trouble is you want people to benefit from this. But the normal vaccines work really well anyway, you know, so I'm not quite sure where this is coming from.
I'm very well acquainted with the man who had the flu and was hospitalized for it. And he said to the doctor, hang on a second, I did all the vaccines, I did everything I should do, and yet here am I. And the doctor said to him, if you hadn't got your vaccines,
you would have died. People forget that the main function of vaccines is to stop severe disease. That's what they do. They help your body not get really, really sick. You know, and without the vaccine, that man could have died, absolutely. Yeah.
Luke O'Neill, Professor of Biochemistry at the School of Immunology at Trinity College in Dublin. Luke, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show, Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.